Well, this morning, as we continue through various topics that were recommended this past spring, this break from our usual series on 1 Peter, these first few messages over the past, now this is the third week, were particular passages that were suggested to be preached upon. And next week, we'll get into more of the topics that were asked about. And the passage that was asked to be preached upon was, one of them is Jeremiah 17, verses 19 to 27. So Jeremiah 17, verses 19 to 27, so you find that in your Bibles. And if you're using your Pew Bible, you can find this on page 820. So again, this is Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 19 to 27. Hear now the living word of God. Thus said the Lord to me, go and stand in the people's gate, by which the kings of Judah enter and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take care for the sake of your lives, and do not bear a burden on the Sabbath day, or bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. And do not carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, or do any work, but keep the Sabbath day holy as I commanded your fathers. Yet they did not listen or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck that they might not hear and receive instruction. But if you listen to me, declares the Lord, and bring in no burden by the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but keep the Sabbath day holy and do no work on it, then there shall enter by the gates of this city kings and princes who sit on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their officials, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall be inhabited forever. And people shall come from the cities of Judah and the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, from Shephelah, from the hill country, and from the Negev, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and frankincense, and bringing thank offerings to the house of the Lord. But if you do not listen to me to keep the Sabbath day holy, and not to bear a burden and enter by the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and shall not be quenched. May the Lord bless the reading, and now also the preaching of his word. So as you can, if you're looking at the bulletin, the title of the sermon and the passage I just read, the sermon deals with the Sabbath and the fourth commandment of to honor the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And as we think upon this subject, it is one of the Ten Commandments. It's probably one of the most contested and one of the most debated of how much it applies to today's life. But as we'll see today, I want us all to think upon, first of all, verse 23 of this text. And that was a warning that the Lord gave of the people that he is speaking to at this time, that they not be like the generation before them, that heard the warnings, that the warnings were sent to them, but they stiffened their necks that they might not hear and receive instruction. And I think that's for me and for all of us, something a verse we need to hear, not just in messages of like today dealing with the Sabbath and a contested issue, but just in general, whenever we come to the Word of God, this is a good verse to pray over. Whatever passage we're reading, a prayer of ours as we approach the Word of God is, Lord, please do not let my neck be stiff, and let me be directed by your Word. So as we continue to then look at this text before us this morning, the Sabbath here is tied to blessings that are given in the observance of it. But there is also a small portion of it, and you compare it to the whole of the text, and it gives a very also clear warning. But the application that I want us to look at and to think upon and to come away with this morning is for you and I to remember the promises of blessing that are given in keeping the Sabbath. And since he promises these blessings, let us then strive to keep the Sabbath holy in our lives. The Lord promises blessing in keeping the Sabbath holy, so let us strive to keep it holy. And we'll be looking at that application in 2 points. First of all, keep the Sabbath holy and save your life. In verses 17 to 23, we see Jeremiah, he's recounting, the Lord said to me, go to the gates of Jerusalem. First of all, he says the people's gate, but then he says, into all the gates of Jerusalem. So we need to remember, first of all, that gates of cities in this day and age, in biblical times, they were more than just the means of entering into a city or of closing and protecting a city from enemy attack. They were often the seat of commerce and the economic life of the city. They were also often the point of political discussion and dialogue of the city. The gates of the city in biblical times was really the center and the hub of the culture of that city. And so as God calls Jeremiah to go to the gates of Jerusalem, He's telling them, you know, don't go to kind of the outskirts where there's just a few people. I want you to go to the heart of this city. I want you to go to the hub. You know, if he were to come to us today, he would tell us, I want you to go down to Olympia and stand in the halls there of the Senate and the governor's office and the state Congress, and I want you to proclaim these things. That's basically what he's telling Jeremiah to do here. And so as we consider the message then that Jeremiah was sent to give, he says, do not carry a burden. Now, as we consider, you know, just that phrase in and of itself, you know, there was, by the time our Lord Jesus Christ is born and during his ministry, the Pharisees had set up a lot of various regulation rules of what that phrase means. There was a certain amount of steps you could take on a Lord's Day. There is, if you recall, when Jesus healed the man who was crippled, and he told him to take up your mat and go home, basically, and walk. You know, the Pharisees and the scribes around Jesus, when they saw that man carrying up his bed, his mat, they said, what are you doing? This is the Sabbath day. How dare you pick up your mat and walk? And so that was the mentality, that they took it quite literally, that you're not to carry any burden whatsoever at all. But really, it's explained here in the context of economic activity. He says, take care for the sake of your lives, and do not bear a burden on the Sabbath day or bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. And do not carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day or do any work, but keep the Sabbath day holy as I commanded your fathers. It's reference to labor, to work, to how we earn our income. And the command is not to earn our income on the Sabbath day. We're called to no work. No purchasing of things and economic transactions. And as we consider this, you know, first of all, you may ask, okay, well, where do we draw the line in that instance? You know, we tend to kind of look at, we'll take the grocery store as an example. I mean, no doubt when we go to the grocery store on Monday, or, you know, Monday through Saturday, we're no doubt going to buy something that was delivered to the store on a Sunday, or maybe was stocked on a Sunday. Does that mean we should abstain from grocery stores and grow our own food? No. There is a wisdom here in looking at what do I in my power have. In my realm of influence, what can I do? How can I apply this? You know, there's a certain level of how Paul says when, you know, in reference to buying meat from the market, of not to ask where it came from. You know, so that you, if you don't know that it was meat that was sacrificed to idols, go ahead and just buy it and eat it. It's fine. So things like that, when we go to the grocery store or other things, sure, there are deliveries being made on the Lord's Day that we have no idea about and we can't influence. But where we should draw the line and consider drawing the line for ourselves is what we can directly influence in our lives. This idea of not carrying a burden is an idea of economic activity. And when we consider going out or buying things on the Lord's Day, the reason why it's important for us to consider not doing that is that it denies then those that we are buying from rest that is due to them. Now, as we consider, you know, this keeping the Sabbath holy, of making a distinction of the day, that this is something special, this is something unique, this is something that's not like Monday through Saturday, the question that comes up is why? And in Jeremiah's message, you know, if you notice in verse 21, the Lord's message to the people of Jerusalem at the time was, take care for the sake of your lives, is what the translation has in our text. Now, as you consider that phrase, really how that phrase could be translated is, take care for the sake of your souls. And that brings to mind what the Sabbath is really for. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ famously said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And the reason God has given us the Sabbath is for our well-being. It's for our physical well-being. You know, you could go and search countless studies that show that it is important for human beings to have rest, for us to just stop and to recuperate. We weren't designed to just simply keep going day after day after day after day. We need to just step back and rest for a little bit. But there's also, for the sake of our souls, Sabbath was given to us. We need rest. All of us need rest. And as we consider this sake of our souls aspect of the Sabbath day, I want to read from Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. Here the Lord says to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. So from early on in the history of God's people, the reason that the Lord had the people rest, it was a sign to God's people that the Lord is the one who sanctifies us. And what he means by that, he is the one who works in us. He is the one who sets us apart. So as we consider the Sabbath and setting it aside and making it holy, we need to remember that this is a sign to us that the Lord is at work in us. And I believe that how this works is that as we make that effort of setting aside what works are not necessary or what works are not acts of mercy, when we set all those aside, we are in a very real and clear way as we come before the Lord saying, I do not approach God by my work. I am setting aside my work, and I am coming into the presence of God. And it points us to the rest that we are to have ultimately in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, this rest that was given is based on the example that God set for us in resting on the seventh day. And as we, the people of old, observed this Sabbath, they were observing a Sabbath of rest that was pointing to really the rest that was to come. But we here, as we look back at the Lord Jesus Christ and his work, we still look forward to a rest that is yet to come. You know, this day is pointing us to that great rest that is still there for God's people to enter into. The author of the Hebrews references this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God to enter into. And as we gather together to worship, as we observe this day, as we set aside that which isn't necessary or an act of mercy, we are declaring in a real sense, we are entering into this rest and we are looking forward to the day where we rest in Christ forever from our labors. Now, some argue that, you know, as the Sabbath day was so integral to the worship and the life of the people of old, you know, the question is raised, doesn't Christ's fulfillment of the Old Testament system of the temple sacrifices and those worship ceremonies, doesn't Christ's fulfillment of these things then make the fourth commandment nullified or fulfilled in Christ, would be a better way to put it. In an answer to that, we need to remember that, first of all, that, you know, the commandments are separated into three categories. You know, we have the moral law, which are the Ten Commandments. And we have the ceremonial law, which is all of the practices of the temple worship and the sacrificial system. And we have the civil law in the Old Testament, which you could consider the civil law. It's basically like all the kind of the case studies of the application of the moral law to the life of the nation of Israel in their day and age. Now, Christ's work fulfilled the law of God. He fulfilled God's law perfectly, every jot and tittle. He never broke it once. And when he fulfilled the ceremonial law, he did not in any way cause the moral code to go away. That moral backbone, that moral code, which is the very character of God himself, was not done away with. You know, we don't say that stealing was somehow fulfilled in the law of Christ, in the work of Christ, so that we are free to steal whatever we want. And we don't say that adultery was fulfilled in the work of Christ. In the same way, the fourth commandment was not fulfilled in the work of Christ in the sense that it is no longer applicable and no longer binding to us. It is still binding to us. There remains, as the author of Hebrews says, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And we need this weekly reminder that we don't rest on our own works and we don't trust in our own works, but we, as we come to God in Christ, set aside our works and we rest in Him alone. Brothers and sisters, the keeping of the Sabbath is not just a day in which God said, you know what, you can't do all this stuff. It's a day in which He has told us, you get to rest. You get to stop. I'm giving you this gift of a day where you get to especially think upon me. As I know the busyness of your lives, you will not have the time to think upon me daily as you should. Here, I've given you this day where you can set all those things aside and you can come and worship me freely. You can think upon me. You can pray to me. But you can just physically rest and enjoy fellowship with your brothers and sisters and get rejuvenated and refreshed for the week that is to come in the world. It is for the well-being of our souls. And so God tells, first of all, Jeremiah to tell the people, take care for your souls, to keep the Sabbath holy. And so, brothers and sisters, let us keep the Sabbath holy for the well-being of our souls. Secondly, we're to keep the Sabbath holy and receive a blessing. As we consider verses 24 and following, but if you listen to me, declares the Lord, and bring in no burden by the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but keep the Sabbath day holy and do no work on it, then there shall enter by the gates of the city kings and princes who sit on the throne of David. Now, as we consider the historic setting in which this was given, this is the prophet Jeremiah. He began his work as a prophet in the 13th year of King Josiah, and he continued to work as a prophet all the way through into the exile of Judah. So he's working as a prophet, proclaiming these things to the people of God, as he is watching the successive degrading of the nation. And the experience of the people is that their nation is falling farther and farther. It is getting weaker and weaker. And so this message from the Lord to the people is, if you do this, if you honor this day, if you set it apart as holy, You will have kings come through this nation. And a son of David will be sitting on your throne, and this city will be established. So all of the instability, the national instability that they were seeing and that they were experiencing, and there's no doubt the fears of the people that would go along with that, the Lord is telling them, here is a way to security. I have given you this day to rest in me. Rest in me. And you will have security. And so the first blessing that is mentioned by God is stability and thriving. Now, how do we take that then and apply it to our own personal lives, this national stability and thriving that God promises to his people? How do we apply that to our own lives or our own stability? You know, it might be a very real situation where we wonder, where we have to decide between maybe working on the Sabbath and keeping a job or obeying the Sabbath. The question arises, can God actually provide? And that is a real test that we have to work through. And the question that we need to ask ourselves whenever we come to this question of, should I do this on the Sabbath or should I not? Can God provide in this instance or can't he? You know, those are the questions that we have to wrestle with. Like, do I work? Do I engage in economic activity? Or do I rest? Can God provide in this instance? Can he not? And so, brothers and sisters, as we consider our own lives and our own stability or instability, the promise that God gives us here is that by resting in him, by resting in Christ, that is the real source of our stability. Now, as we also consider, those are national blessings that the Lord promises, blessings in this life that he promised his people if they would observe the Sabbath. But there are also spiritual blessings that he promises as well. And people shall come from the cities of Judah, in verse 26, and places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, from Shephelah, from the hill country, and from the Negev, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and frankincense, and bringing thank offerings to the house of the Lord. It's a picture of a reviving and a thriving of not only the nation of Judah at this time, but also the religion and the faith of Judah. Sacrifices being brought in by people outside in the surrounding area to come and to worship the true God. And I believe what is being taught us here is that as the church sets aside the Sabbath as a holy day, it is a witness to those around us. As we keep the Sabbath, as we set it aside as holy, it is a witness to those around us. You know, as one maybe means of illustration, I've shared this in conversations. I don't think I've shared it here from the pulpit, but except you all know that I used to work for Starbucks. And, you know, it used to be my practice. I would stop on a Starbucks on the way into worship and in church. And I would get coffee. And I would even sometimes hang out at Starbucks and drink it there. All the while, I told my manager that I couldn't work on Sunday. And it took my manager and my assistant manager to show me, personally, on a personal level, my hypocrisy. As I was telling them that, you know what, you can double me up on Saturday. I'll work extra shifts. I just can't work on Sunday. I can't do that. So my assistant manager looked at me and was like, well, don't you get coffee on Sunday? And I looked at him and I was like, yes. And thank you for pointing that out. I won't do that anymore. So it has an impact. You know, in that instance, really, I was having a negative witness to the people around me in my work. But by God's grace, I'll be able to renew a positive witness to them at my work and be faithful in that. The world is watching. And the world does know that this day, this first day of the week, is our day of worship. And how we guard this day of worship is a witness to to the world around us that watches. Now, as we consider that, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of a very encouraging thing, and what the point of the Sabbath is, ultimately. I've referenced this passage before in Isaiah 58, verses 13 to 14. In that text, what does God say to the people there through Isaiah? He says then, if you turn your feet from following your own desires, and then to follow my desires and to keep my Sabbaths. Ultimately, what that passage ends with, it's not so much the blessings that are promised, but he says at the end of that, I will give you a greater delight in me. In me. And that's the whole point of this day. That's the whole point of the rest that we've been given. Is it is an opportunity for us to grow in our relationship with our God. As He promises to work in us, as He promises to mold us and to shape us, it is a continual life of dying to our own desires. And on this day of all, He calls us. Set aside your desires. Come to my desires. I promise you, my desires will grow in you. They will overwhelm you. And you will take much greater joy in them than anything else that we thought was desirable in this world. That's the ultimate promise with this rest that we have been given. It's a greater joy, love, knowledge of our Lord and God. Now, he does give here a final warning in verse 27. Where if you do not listen to me to keep the Sabbath day holy and not to bear a burden and enter by the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem and shall not be quenched. I mean, again, we need to consider the context. They were facing a growing situation in Jerusalem that was a terrifying prospect of continued and a further degradation of a faith and life in Jerusalem. And God is saying, hey, here's the path back. And if you reject this path, you will be judged. And we know, brothers and sisters, how that story ended for them. But as we consider this morning, what I want us to ask ourselves is, why is this so serious? Why is something like the observance of a Sabbath day and keeping it holy, why is this so serious? Well, again, I want to use an example from my own life, because you've heard my testimony. So just to remind you of it, how the Lord used a period of my life where I didn't like what He was doing and how He was guiding my life. And so I tried my best just to shut Him out as much as I could. But the one thing I kept doing was I kept going to worship. So why was that? Well, I wanted to save face, to be honest. I didn't want people knowing. And so I just kept going to church like a good covenant child. And what that illustration shows is, and I think what the Lord is getting at through Jeremiah, is He's calling the people back to observing the Sabbath day. But in the blatant disregard of the Sabbath day that was going on in Jeremiah's day, what it shows is that all the other stuff, all the other sins, all the other things would have just been more open and overt. Because typically, the going to church, the saving face, that's kind of the last thing to crumble. So all the outward ceremonies, while the heart was not in it, would have normally been there. And the fact that they weren't was showing how far the people had fallen as Jeremiah was sent to warn them and to call them to repentance. That is why I believe one of the reasons it is so serious is that this is like the tip of the iceberg transgression. And there's a whole host of things under the surface that aren't talked about in this passage. And that can be true, not always, but that can be true in our lives as well. If someone is neglecting worship, someone not coming to church, that's typically the last straw, the last thing that is done. And is evidence of something far greater under the surface. And so we're called to not outwardly, to not just put on a show, but out of a true desire to know and to love our God, to grow in knowledge and understanding of Him, to be fed by Him, to be nurtured by Him, to be molded and shaped by Him, to be blessed by Him and encouraged by Him, we're called to keep the Sabbath day holy. Because if we're honest with ourselves, if we do not keep it holy, there is not a day of the week where we focus on God. There is not a day of the week where we devote time to Him as we should. And so in His grace, He has given us this day. And so, brothers and sisters, the Lord promises blessings in keeping the Sabbath holy. And chiefly, the blessing that He promises is the well-being of our own souls. As we grow in our knowledge and understanding of Him, as we grow in Christ's likeness, as we grow through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, through these means of grace that He has given us, He calls us to set aside the Sabbath day, to rest in Him. And so, brothers and sisters, let us keep the Sabbath day holy. Amen. Our gracious Father, we do thank You for this day that You have given to us. It is a day that is a blessing to us. It is not a burden. It is not a means to cause Your people more pain and suffering. It is for our good. Sabbath was made for man. It is for our good, Lord, that You have given us this day, that You have told us to stop working, to take a rest. It is a day where You have called us to come into Your holy presence, to be fed by You and to be nurtured by You, to grow in our knowledge and understanding of You, to have fellowship together as brothers and sisters in Christ and be renewed and regenerate for the week that is to come. And so, Lord, we pray that we would keep the Sabbath day holy. May You work in us, Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, to help us grow as we all, in some measure, need to grow in this area. We pray that by the work of Your Holy Spirit, we would grow. We would honor this day for the well-being of our souls in Jesus Christ, in whose name we do pray. Amen.